This sermon is titled, Fruitfulness is Yours. Be enriched as you listen.
All right, are you ready to spend some time in God's Word? Yes? This morning, I just want to bring a little word of encouragement. We're going to talk about fruitfulness is yours. So turn around to the person next to you and tell them, fruitfulness is yours. All right, if there's somebody else on the other side, tell them, fruitfulness is yours. Let's begin by reading a few passages of Scripture. We'll read a few from Psalms and one from the New Testament. So if you have your Bibles, you can look it up in your Bible or you can follow along on the screen. But we like to read this out loud together. Let's read Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 1. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's read it out loud together, please. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So this is what God has said. About a man who fears God, who lives by his word, he said he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now that's you. It's not just a nice verse in the Bible, a nice picture. But that picture is descriptive of you. Say this with me, please. That picture is descriptive of me. I am like that tree planted by the rivers of water. So God's talking about you. Right? So he will be like a tree planted by these rivers of waters. His leaf will not wither. Evergreen. He will bring his fruit in its season. And whatever he does will prosper. Another passage you want to read, Psalm 25, verses 12 to 13. Something more about those who fear God. Psalm 25, verses 12 and 13. Let's read it out together, please. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself will dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. God's talking again about you. Who's the man who fears God? God will teach you in the way you should choose. So you all have lots of decisions to make. Some small, some big decisions. And the Bible says, you fear God, God will teach you. What are the choices you have to make? He'll teach you the way you have to choose. And then what will happen as you walk in those ways, as you and I walk in those ways, he says here, you will dwell in prosperity and your children will inherit the earth. It doesn't mean they take charge of the planet. It means that they will possess what God has appointed for their lives. They will have their possession. The children will also be blessed. Another psalm, Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Let's read it out, please. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. You fear God? He says you'll be able to eat the labor of your hands. And when you eat the labor of your hands, you'll be happy, and it will be well with you. I like the Good News Bible. It puts it, verse 2 says, your work will provide for your needs. You will be happy and prosperous. And in the New Testament, John 15, verse 8, John 15, verse 8, you know, I'm just picking out one verse from that whole passage, but Jesus talking about the vine and us being the branches. John 15, verse 8, let's read it together, please. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So God wants us to bear much fruit. So God's not like saying, okay, just go through life. No. Bear much fruit. But this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. So I want us to just spend some time talking about fruitfulness is yours. And doing this very intentionally. Now, first of all, this word fruitful is an old English word. We don't use it too much in modern day. You know, we may use other words that are synonymous. We talk about thriving. We talk about flourishing. We talk about being successful. We talk about prospering. We talk about doing well. These are synonymous. They're carrying the same idea of being fruitful. The biblical term, being fruitful. Now, the reason we want to focus on this is because sometimes we who are believers, we don't seem convinced that God wants us to be fruitful. We don't seem convinced about that. Because we're in a little doubt. You know, maybe God doesn't want me to be fruitful because maybe he's afraid I will run away after, I'll forget him, and I'll run away after the fruit. Or all those kinds of things. We have all kinds of ideas. So the question that we want to address, first of all, is it right to desire and be motivated to be fruitful? Is it right to desire, to be motivated, to be fruitful in whatever each one of us are called to do? Example, if you're a student, is it right to desire, God, I want to pass my exams? You better have that desire. Is it right that I not just pass my exams, but I get really good marks? Is it right to be motivated for that? Or should I just say, God, 36 is enough if passing is 35. I don't know what the passing mark is these days, but should I just settle for 36? I'll be humble. Or is it right to be motivated? The desire to be fruitful, to be successful, to thrive, to do really well. Whatever language you want to use. Is it right to be motivated? That's the question. Because somewhere in the back of our minds, as Christians, as believers, we feel like God wants to keep me humble. So don't desire. No, don't desire. It's dangerous. Now, yesterday we had the Christian Professionals Conference. We do that once a year. And, you know, the goal is to serve the professionals in their space and the work they're doing. But just imagine, if people got up on Monday, they went to work, and they're not motivated to do well. They're not motivated to, I want to do really well in whatever I'm doing. But Monday morning you go, imagine, you know, to contrast this. You know, imagine a person coming into work saying, I really want to do well today. Whatever I do, I want it best. I want to give my best here. I want to do best, do well. Versus somebody who comes to work and says, boss asks, why are you here? I don't know, I'm just showing up. Mark attendance. No. What does the boss expect? When people come, they should come with passion for themselves and for the team and for the people they are working. That we're all going to do well. We're going to excel. Not, you know, just show up. But beyond that. But the question is it right to have that passion inside of you? Is it right to have that drive inside you, that desire, that ambition, that motivation to succeed, to do well, to excel? Is it right to have that or not? Now think about these two things. First of all, In Genesis chapter 1, when God created everything, and we see the sequence of creation. When he created man, Adam and Eve, what did he do? Genesis 1, verse 28. It says, God blessed them. And then he said, be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion. What did God do? He blessed them and he spoke over them. Be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion. Now, of course, in the context, he spoke similar words over other creatures. So, yes, keeping in line with the context, yeah, part being fruitful meant procreate, fill the earth, make lots of human beings. So we understand that. But we don't limit it to only procreation. When God blessed them and said, be fruitful, take dominion, fill the earth, it wasn't just, you know, make more human beings, but I want you to thrive on this planet. I want you to do well. In the next chapter, Genesis chapter 2, when God puts Adam in the Garden of Eden, it says, God told him to cultivate the garden. I mean, now, do something with this. Be fruitful. Make this place thrive. Garden of Eden was good, but make it better. Extend it to do well. So, first of all, from the very beginning, God proclaimed over us fruitfulness. God has proclaimed fruitfulness over your life. He said, be fruitful. Bless you. Be fruitful. And secondly, like we read some of these scriptures, God has promised fruitfulness. In all of these verses that we read, he said, you serve the Lord, you delight in God. You will be like the tree planted by rivers of water. You'll be fruitful. You bring your fruit in its season. Your leaf will not wither. Whatever you do will prosper. God has promised. Psalm 25. Who's the man who fears God? God will tell you how to make the right choices. And what will happen? You will prosper. You will dwell in prosperity. And your children will inherit the earth. They will do well in their lives. God promised. Psalm 128. Where is man who fears God? It says, it will be well with you. You will enjoy the labor of your hands. God promised. So, I want us to understand. I want us to be deeply convinced about it without an iota of doubt that God has proclaimed and God has promised fruitfulness over your life. And therefore, you can pursue it. Because God spoke it over you. He promised it for you. So you can pursue fruitfulness. That means you can be motivated for it. You can desire it. Not in a wrong, selfish sense. Or I just want, you know, things for myself. But with a healthy motivation. I want to do well. I want to excel so that I can contribute, I can achieve, and I can be a blessing in my team, in my organization, whatever I'm doing. I can do well, and it can be a blessing. So say this with me together. Say this together with me. I pursue fruitfulness because God has proclaimed it and promised it for me. I'll say it again so that you get a little convinced. I pursue fruitfulness because God has proclaimed it and promised it for me. He said, be fruitful. And he's promised it. So you pursue. Now, fruitfulness to each one of us, like I said earlier, may mean something different depending on where you are in life and what God has called you to do. You know, We are all in different stages of life. But in whatever you are, in whatever stage of life you are, whatever God has given to you to do, you should desire to be fruitful. Thrive, flourish, do well. It's not wrong. In fact, let me make this statement. I wrote it down. So, we need to be assured in our hearts that our sincere desire and motivation to be fruitful in what God has called us to do is godly, aligned to God's will and purpose. You need to be convinced that this is a godly desire in you. Why? God said, be fruitful. You're aligning to God. God promised it. You're aligning to God. It's a godly desire. Like I said, you're not pursuing it for your selfish interests. You're pursuing it, like we will see, it's going to glorify God. It's going to bless people. Of course, you get blessed in the process. But that desire and that motivation to be fruitful in life, in whatever you do, it's a godly thing. God put it in you. So don't kill it. Someone said, you should have no ambition. Have you ever met an ambitionless person? Where are you going? I don't want to go anywhere. What do you want to do? I don't want to do anything. What do you want to become? I don't want to become anything. No. God didn't put you on earth for that purpose. That drive, that desire for you to be fruitful, to accomplish something, to pursue a dream and see it happen, to fulfill things that God has given to you, that desire to be fruitful is godly. It's from God. Now keep it godly and go for it. Pursue it. So, I hope you're convinced about it. Having been convinced, let's talk very briefly about some principles, some biblical principles for fruitfulness. Now, this is not, you know, a management class, 10 steps to succeed. No, it's not that. It's just, what does the Bible say? We need to find out. What does the Bible say that you and I can be fruitful? We'll talk about a few of them in brief, just, you know, a few of these. First of all, for us as believers, a people who love God, who are living by the word of God, we know, first of all, to be fruitful, it is a blessing of the Lord. It's a blessing from God. It means two things. It means that I recognize I need to be in a place where God can bless me. I need to be a place of obedience, right? Obedience is the place of blessing. So I need to be in a place of obedience to God because fruitfulness comes as a result of His blessing on our lives. And also means I recognize that when I'm fruitful, it's only because of His blessing. Yes, we have to do our part, as we will see shortly. We have to work hard, we have to be wise, do all of that. But really, it's the blessing of God. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And He adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of God, it makes rich. Now, when you say rich, don't just think about money. Money's a part of it. But we're talking about fruitfulness, thriving in whatever you're doing. It's a blessing of God that causes us to be fruitful, causes us to thrive, to succeed, to do well. And that kind of fruitfulness, there's no sorrow with it. So, it's the blessing of the Lord. Now think about this. You know, God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, God is being identified by these men. I'm the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. So it's good to look into their lives, see how God worked in their lives. And I'm just picking up a little incident from the life of Isaac in Genesis 26. The Bible says, at that time there was famine in the land. It was bad. There was drought. And now Isaac, being a farmer, he wanted to do what farmers would normally do. And they were nomads, so they would move from place to place. And so, like his father Abraham did, during a time of famine, go down south, go to the Nile where the plains are fertile. Stay there, then come back. So he was about to do that. But God told Isaac, Isaac, just stay here. Stay here. And this is very interesting. In Genesis 26, the Bible says Isaac stayed there. And what did he do? He sowed in the land. I wasn't the time to be sowing. There's drought, there's famine. But God said, Isaac, stay. He was planning to go to the Nile. God said, stay. You stay. And he did his work. He was a farmer. So I'm trying to picture this in my mind. He's tilling the ground. Hard. Sowing seed. Time of drought. But something happened. Genesis 26 verse 12. And Isaac sowed in the land. And the same year, he reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. Because the Lord blessed him. And why did God bless him? Because of his obedience. God said, stay. He stayed. And then he worked. He did, you know, it must have been hard, but he worked. He sowed in the land. While it was drought and famine everywhere, he still sowed because God told me to stay here. I'm going to do my work here. And he sowed in the land. And the Bible says the Lord blessed him. And he reaped a hundredfold. So this is what the blessing of God can do on our lives. That in a time when you're not supposed to reap any fold, he's reaping a hundredfold because of the blessing of God and his obedience. Wait. And the man, the Bible says, verse 12, the man began to prosper. He became so prosperous that the Philistines envied him. The Philistines all around say, what's happening to this man? How is he prospering? How is he doing well? Well, the blessing of the Lord. So, we recognize as believers that it is the blessing of God that causes us to be fruitful. And so all we need to do is be in obedience, be where God wants you to be, do what God wants you to do, set yourself there, and know that your obedience will cause his blessing. And his blessing is what causes fruitfulness. That thriving, that success, that increase, that multiplication, it comes from the blessing of the Lord. Just by you and I being where God wants us to be. The second principle we want to talk about, or let me just mention Psalm 70, on principle one, Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. It says, for promotion does not come from the east or from the west or from the south. But it is the Lord who raises up one and puts down another. So promotion, where does it come? I know your boss does your review and signs your promotion, but there's somebody greater than your boss. There's a God in heaven. And the Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west or from the south. It comes from God. It is God who makes room for you. So let's say this together. My promotion comes from God. My promotion comes from God. So it's the blessing of God that God can lift you up. And if he needs to make room for you, he'll do it. It's part of the blessing of God. Second principle that God has given us for fruitfulness is living by his word. Living by his word. You know, Joshua was given this huge assignment to lead a nation. And so, you know, he's getting ready to step in, take on the responsibility. And God gives him this clear instruction. He says, don't let this book, the book of the law, at that time that's all they had. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. I mean, keep it in your mouth. Meditate in it day and night and do what it says, and then you will make your way prosperous. You will have good success. So imagine you and I are given an assignment in whatever we are called to do, maybe in your place of work or wherever. And you say, God, what do I do? Maybe you're starting a business. Maybe you're stepping into something new. Maybe setting up a new unit or a department, whatever. God, I have this assignment. What is the strategy? I don't think God's going to come and give you something new. He's probably going to tell you and me the same thing he told Joshua. This book, don't let it get away from you. Keep it in your mouth. Meditate in it day and night. Just live by this, and you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Now, this is God's, I don't know what you want to call it, management principle or success principle or whatever. Give it whatever name you want. But this is what God told Joshua. Live by the book, and you'll succeed. And he'll say the same thing to you and me today. Live by this. We read in Psalm 1, 1, 2, and 3, you know, this man delights in the law of God. He meditates in it day and night. And he is the one who's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He does, his leaf will not wither. He brings his fruit in its season. Whatever he does prospers. So live by the book. Whatever you're called to do, you're all called to do different things. But if you live by the same book, the Word of God, you commit yourself to it. Say, God, I'm going to live by this. Whatever you say in your Word, I'm going to practice it in my place of work. And whatever my assignment is, I'm just going to follow the Word. I'm going to live by it. Because you said, if I live by it, I will make my way prosperous. I will be successful. You said it. The third principle, you see, of course, is diligence. Again, that word diligence is an old English word for hard work. Work hard. Put in your best. Proverbs 10 verse 4. Again, just a few scriptures. Proverbs 10 verse 4. The hand of the diligent makes rich, but he becomes poor who deals with a slack hand. Means you work hard, makes you rich, fruitful, successful. You're slacking off. The hand of the diligent makes rich. It's in the Bible. Work hard. Put in your effort. Are you listening? Now, Proverbs 22, 29. It's a very interesting verse. The King James use the word diligence. The New King James used the word excel. But let's look at it. Proverbs 22, 29. It says, do you see a man who's diligent in his work or who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before ordinary people. Do you see a man who's diligent in his work? He will stand before kings. Kings were old Bible language. Today you can think, stand before the boss. You know, stand before the CEOs, or you'll stand before the top people. Do you see a man who's diligent in his work, who excels in his work? He will stand before the kings. He will not stand before ordinary people. So, work hard. Excel in your work. Give it your best. It's a principle in the Bible. Are you listening? So, I do 10%, God does 90%. Hey, when you go to work, you bring 100%. I know you have all these formulas. My 10%, 90%, all that. It is good outside. In work, 100%. 100% on the table, right? You have to be diligent. Give it all your best. Give it your best. Get all you can. Do you see a man who's diligent in his work, who's excelling in his work? He will stand before kings. A fourth principle is wisdom. Is wisdom. Now, in order to be wise, you also need knowledge, because wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom tells you how to apply knowledge correctly. So you need to have the knowledge, and then wisdom tells you how to apply it. Solve problems, do things. But we need to keep growing. You know, sometimes I think real education begins after you leave school, after you leave college. That's when education actually starts. You know, please don't get teachers, you know. Archana's looking at me. Don't get upset. Okay, school is good, college is good, all that. But we never stop learning. That's the point. We never stop learning. We have to keep on learning, keep on learning. Keep reading, keep studying, keep learning. We never stop learning. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. It says, if an axe is dull, you'll have to use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Wisdom brings success. If you want to succeed, you need wisdom. And that's why in Proverbs 4, 7 through 9, he says, you know, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. It's the main thing. It's the principal thing. So many times people ask, Pastor, what shall I pray for you? I said, pray for wisdom. Because that's the main thing. I don't want to make mistakes and learn from mistakes. It'll be so much better to have some wisdom. Avoid the mistakes. To pray for wisdom. Make the right decision the right time. Don't have to learn through mistakes if you have the wisdom of God. So pray for wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all you're getting, get understanding. It's the main thing. Get it. So, for us, we pray for wisdom, and it's so wonderful because God is the source of wisdom. So we pray. God, give me wisdom. How do I solve this problem? How do I handle this situation? How do I handle these people? What do I do here? God, give me wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And if you operate by wisdom, wisdom brings success. I like the scripture there in Proverbs 8, verse 12 and 18. It says, wisdom is speaking. I dwell with prudence. And this is the King James Version. I find out knowledge or witty inventions. Put it in modern English. Wisdom, I will teach you how to live practically, live well. I will help you solve problems. I will give you knowledge or witty inventions. Come up with creative things. So wisdom teaches you how to live, how to solve problems, how to come up with creative things. And that's what we need. That's what you get paid for at work. To solve problems. To come up with some creative ideas. And wisdom can give you that. Amen? So, seek wisdom. You get knowledge, get understanding, and ask God for wisdom. How do I take this knowledge and how do I take this understanding to solve problems? Because sometimes you can have a lot of knowledge, you can have a lot of understanding, but if you don't know how to apply that, what's the use? That's why you need wisdom. And it's through wisdom. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. It says, the house is filled through wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You have this three-pack, powerful three-pack. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You bring them together. It says the house is filled with all pleasant and wonderful riches. It means you're going to thrive. You're going to succeed. So you need knowledge. You need understanding. But you need wisdom to how to apply that. Solve problems. Put it in action. You bring it together. We'll try. Are you listening? Just one more biblical principle. There are probably more that we could see in scripture. One more I want to mention is faithfulness in little things. Faithfulness in little things. See, when you go to work and your team leader, your manager, somebody comes in and they give you a little assignment. Can you do this? Feel insulted. I am MBA. And he's giving me this little piece of work. What does he think? Hey, relax. There's a principle here. You be faithful in little things and you'll be set over many things. If you do your little work well, that little assignment well, you're given a small task to do, you do it well, it positions you for increase. It positions you for growth. It's a biblical principle. And we know this story of the talents in Matthew 25. You know, Jesus gave us that story. We talked about this noble man. He called three of his servants. He gave to each one according to their ability. One talent, two or five, he gave to them. He went away. And when he came back, he took accounts. And for the two of them who multiplied what they did, he said, "You are good and faithful. You've been faithful over little things. I will set you over many things. You've been faithful over few. I'll set you over many. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much." So that's a kingdom principle. You be faithful in little things. When things are small, be faithful. Because God can cause the small to multiply. He can cause the small to increase. And just look at the scriptures in Job 8. He says, is that Job 8, 6 and 7? He says, "A little one Job 8, 6 and 7. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end will greatly increase." So that's what God can do as we walk with Him. Though the beginning is small, the latter end can greatly increase. But you got to stay the course. Or Isaiah 60, verse 22. "A little one will become a thousand, a small one, a strong nation." So God is a God who can cause that to happen. But we have to be faithful in little things. He can bring that about in your life. You say, "God, all I have is little." Well, a little one can become a thousand. "God, I have something so small." Yeah, but a small thing can become a strong nation. It can multiply. God can do it. But be faithful. And that little, be faithful when things are small. Do it well. Give it your best. So here are some principles for you and me to be fruitful, to thrive, to flourish, to increase. And you and I have to engage these principles, put them into action. Work on them in your life, because these are God-given principles. You act on them, you work them in your life, and it will bring you to a place of fruitfulness. I want to say something that's a little counterintuitive. Fruitfulness demonstrates faithfulness. Fruitfulness demonstrates faithfulness. And why is it counterintuitive? Because many of us think, God has given me one. I'll just be faithful with one. I'll keep it as one. That's faithful. But in the parable of the talents, whom did Jesus call faithful? The person who was given one, who kept it as one. He said, "You wicked and unprofitable servant." The people who multiplied what they had, those are the ones he called good and faithful. So they multiplied it. Said, "That's faithfulness." So fruitfulness, which is multiplication, increase, is an evidence. It's a demonstration of your faithfulness. Keeping the one as one. You and I think, "Oh, I'm so faithful." He's expecting multiplication. He's expecting fruitfulness. Keeping the one as one, he said, wicked and unprofitable. But when you multiply, he said, that's good and faithful. That's being good and faithful. So fruitfulness is an evidence of your faithfulness. It means you're really faithful. You're faithful enough to multiply what God has given you. You're faithful enough to work on being fruitful in whatever assignment God has put on your life. You're faithful enough to work on increase in whatever God has given you. That's being faithful. Now, I want you to think about this in God's kingdom. There's a very strange verse in that same passage in Matthew 25. And I think it's verse 29. Let's read it, please. Matthew 25, 29. Let's read it. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Did you read the verse correctly? Say, God, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to take from those who have got a lot and give it to those who don't have. But Jesus says, that's not the way the kingdom works. This is in the context of the parable of the talents. What's he saying? To those who have, more will be given. And those who do not have, even the little they have will be taken away and given to those who have. What's going on? Well, in the context of what he said, the man who has two was given two. He's made it four. The man who was given, five, he's made it 10. God's saying, they're a good investment. The guy who had one, he kept it as one. Take what he has. Give it to the people who are being fruitful. This is the kingdom of God. So God, I don't like that. Sorry. This is God's kingdom. So, we can make this statement. God rewards fruitfulness with more fruitfulness. God rewards fruitfulness with more fruitfulness. That's what he's saying. These people are being fruitful. Give them more because they're going to multiply it. They're going to increase it. They're going to do something good with it. If you give more to this person who's not doing anything, he's just going to sit on it. Are you listening? This is God's kingdom. So, God is looking for fruitfulness. He said, I want you to be fruitful. He's proclaimed fruitfulness over your life. He has promised fruitfulness over your life. And he's looking for that. And he's going to reward fruitfulness with greater fruitfulness. He's going to do it. So you're fruitful in whatever you're doing. It's going to reward more. More. Amen? So, understand that it's a godly thing to want to be fruitful in whatever you're doing. So there's nothing wrong saying, God, I want to be a successful, team leader. I want to be a successful salesperson, whatever work you're doing, I want to do it well. I want to try. I want to be fruitful. God says, yeah, I've spoken that over you. I've promised it for you. Live by my principles. And as you become fruitful, as you're fruitful, being fruitful, I will bless you with more fruitfulness. You steward that well. Take care of it well. I'll bless you with more. Now, understand that ultimately, Let me say this. So exercise faith for fruitfulness, all of us. Whatever you're doing, believe God for it. God, I want to be fruitful. I want to do well. Exercise your faith in God. Imagine, it must have taken Isaac a little bit of faith to go sow in the land during a time of drought. But he did it. I don't know what must have been going through his mind. He said, God told me to stay here. I'll stay here, but let me do my work. But God rewarded that. So exercise your faith in God to be fruitful in life, in whatever you're doing now in life. Exercise your faith. God, I believe that you'll bring increase. You'll bring multiplication. You'll bring growth. You cause me to succeed. You cause me to do well. And I'm going to do my part. And I'll see fruitfulness. Now, understand what Jesus said in John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So us bearing much fruit, is what's it going to do? It's going to glorify the Father. It's going to glorify the Father. So that's our motivation. God, be glorified in my life. Even as I bear fruit, even as I'm fruitful, as you give increase, be glorified in my life. Be glorified in my life. That's our motivation. Let God be glorified. Worship team, please come. The final thought I want us to consider is this. Some of us may feel, you know, maybe I'm not in the right place. Things haven't, you know, somebody else is succeeding, somebody else is succeeding. For me, no, life hasn't been easy. Maybe I was born in the wrong family, born in the wrong place, wrong things have happened to me, all kinds of ideas, thoughts. Feel imprisoned by your circumstances. I wish things were different. But I want us to understand, there's a God in heaven who can change it. He can. And think about Jabez in the Old Testament. Just two verses about his life. I want us to just consider this as we close. His prayer against all odds. Things were not necessarily great for him. But look at his prayer. First Chronicles chapter 4 verses 9 and 10. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Just two verses about Jabez. Now, can you imagine? This baby is born, and the mother is saying, you're such a pain. Not his fault. A mother named him Jabez. You're going to cause pain. Why? Because she bore him in pain. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us too much about the family situation. But I'm just imagining, because the word says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That means he must have born in a situation where things weren't that great. His brothers seemed to have just relinquished their life to their situation. But Jabez, it says, he prayed. He called on God. That's why he was more honorable than his brothers. He didn't just accept his life situation. Mother has called me a pain. Things may not be great here. The others have accepted things as they are. But God, I'm praying to you. And what did Jabez pray? A bold prayer. He said, God, I want you to bless me. I want you to enlarge my territory. I was, Lord, you know, put it in simple English. God, bless me, make me great, increase me. Give me a wider influence. Enlarge my territory. Give me more. And God, you be with me. Let your hand be with me. He said, look, if God is with me, none of these things matter. What mom has said, what situation I've been born in, all that doesn't matter. God, your hand, you be with me. You keep me from evil. And Lord, my mother said, I'm a pain. My mother said, I'm going to cause pain. But you, oh God, you keep me from causing pain. Amen. Negate whatever has been spoken over my life. Negate it. Reverse it. The Bible says, God granted him his request. A challenge to each of us is, don't let your situation determine whether you're going to be fruitful or not. Because there's a God in heaven. Don't let what people have spoken over you determine your destiny. There's a God in heaven that you and I need to pray. You and I need to have faith in God. God, you turn this around. This situation is not going to dictate whether I'm going to be fruitful or not. This circumstance that I was born into or I've been in or things that have happened in my life, they are not the final word over my life, over your life. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven who can bring you out of your prison of failure. There's a God in heaven who can bring you out of your whatever the situation is that has prevented you from being fruitful. There's a God in heaven who can bring you, like David said, he has set me in a broad place. He can transplant you from your present situation into a place where it's pleasant, where it's broad, where you can thrive and flourish. There's a God in heaven who can do that. Amen. So, this morning, I believe that God will cause each of us to be fruitful. Very fruitful in our lives. Whatever you're called to do, he will cause you to be fruitful. But exercise faith. Believe God for it. Now do your part. Work hard. Do your part. And trust God to be fruitful. Amen? Let's rise to our feet, please. Father, in Jesus' name, your word has been spoken. Your word has been released. And there is awesome power in your words. There's awesome power by your spirit. That God, today, you will cause each of our lives to be fruitful for your kingdom. For your glory. Whatever you've called us to do in our schools, in our colleges, in our places of work, whatever we are doing, whatever assignment you've given us in our businesses, God, let each one of your people thrive, flourish, see increase, see multiplication, and be very fruitful. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, by the power of your word. Let this begin to happen in each of our lives, that when we go from this place, we can say, God has set me in a broad place. God has set me in a pleasant place. God has brought me out of my prisons of failure and defeat. God has brought me out of my prison of barrenness. And God has brought me into a place of fruitfulness. God has caused me to be fruitful. And for those of us of God here who are seeing fruitfulness, God, we pray that it will increase even more. Increase even more. Increase even more, so that you will be glorified and that we can bless even more people. Father, I pray that every wall of limitation that seems to confine our lives to a certain level, to a certain dimension, to a certain measure, today let the walls come down. Let fruitfulness know no limits in our lives. Let increase know no limits in our lives. Let multiplication know no limits in our lives. Like your word says, let it be without measure. Without measure. Let there be an overflow of fruitfulness. Without limits, without measure, no boundaries, no measure to what you bring in the ease of our lives, Father. May this moment be a turning point. May this moment, because of the word and because of your spirit, be a turning point. Let all barrenness be broken. Let all things that are preventing people from being fruitful be destroyed, and let fruitfulness spring forth in our lives. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. So I want you to dream big dreams. Have the desire, have the motivation to go after fruitfulness. And whatever you're doing, go after it. Dream big. Expect more. Expect increase. Dream big. We thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to speak the benediction. And then we will sing our theme song. But before we do that, is there anyone here you've never given your heart to Jesus? You never received Jesus into your life? It's so important that you do that. The Lord Jesus wants to come into your life. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to make you a child of God. He wants you to bring you into His kingdom. If there's anyone, even if there's one person here this morning, and you need to do that, you've never done it in your life, but you say, I need to receive Jesus. I've never received Jesus in my life. Can I see your hand? Is there anyone here this morning? You need to receive Jesus. You've never received Jesus in your life. I just want you to raise your hand and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to lead us in a prayer for you to receive Jesus. Is anyone here this morning? Anyone? You never received Jesus in your life. Can I just see your hand and say, I want to receive Jesus this morning. I want to receive Jesus in my life. Anyone? I'm assuming that everyone here has received Jesus. He's in your life. We're going to give the benediction. We're going to close. And after that, we'll sing our theme song. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with each of us always.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.